leads us to our sermon this week. Discipleship happens best in community. Discipleship happens best in community. The Christian faith, and I would say probably life in general, was not meant to be lived alone. I could tell you stories of my friends in other parts of the world where community is still just a way of life. It's valued. I can think of my friends in Uruguay where it didn't matter whether we went to a fancy restaurant or we sat and bought a sandwich in a little roadside cart, food cart, or whether we were sitting in a restaurant full of people or we were sitting at a park. We had such a wonderful time. And again, it wasn't about what we ate. It's the fact that we were eating together. And we enjoyed the food and we laughed and we told stories and we shared testimonies of God's work in our lives. Sometimes we would stay up most of the night just to drink mate and eat fried dough. And it was wonderful and enriching. I think of our friends who have been missionaries in Cameroon. In Cameroon, you don't wait to be invited to somebody's house. The culture is so that you can drop by any of your friends' house any time of the day or night. And they open the door, they welcome you, that you have something to drink, something to eat. It might just be a piece of bread. But that's what they do. It is the most common thing. When we were in Costa Rica a few weeks ago, when we were, three of the nights we stayed with our friends, and we were going to have breakfast the next morning, and then my friend said, well, I got to text the neighbor. And I'm thinking, what are you texting the neighbor for? And she's like, well, he's coming over to join us for breakfast. Just, well, because we're going to have a time together. We had a couples event last night at our place. I think there were six of us couples all together. We had a wonderful time of food and conversation, but it was so enriching. Community is the way in which God designed for us to live out our discipleship. And the foundation for community is God. We use the term the Trinity, or the triune God, or the Godhead. He is the foundation for community. Because from eternity to eternity, God has existed in this mystery that the church, two, three centuries into the history of the church, because of some of the teaching that was going around, they got together and they came up with this. You know, when we look at Scripture, there is one God, but somehow there's God the Father, there's God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, who are co-equal, co-existent, co-eternal, co-glorious. Not three gods, not one God that manifests himself in three different ways or roles, but three persons in one God. Neither of them being more important than the other. Neither, there's no there's no structure of, you know, somebody is here and somebody's down here. It's this mysterious existence of the threeness of God. That's why, even though it's always used in the singular, we read in Genesis, God said, let us. Not let me, but let us. There's this community. So we need to remember that. In Genesis, we hear that God says, after every day, at the end of the day, he said, and the Lord saw, and it was good. And the first thing that we are told that wasn't good was not actually sin. We are told that it was not good for man, for human beings, to be alone. Now, please remember that there's already an existing relationship between Adam and God. But even under those circumstances, God said he looked and he saw that it was not good for Adam to be alone. So he made Eve. It's not only God saying that marriage is good, but God is simply saying that community, that not being alone, is a good thing. So, community in the Bible. There are 58 verses that refer to one another in the New Testament. Love one another. Forgive one another. Carry one another's burdens. And on and on and on. If you have the U version of the Bible, does anybody remember what the verse of the day happens to be for today? It's one of these one another's that we don't claim very often. Confess your sins to one another. We remember the other part of the verse, and we claim it often, that the fervent prayer of the righteous person avails much. We forget that preceding it says, confess your sins one to another. So there's all these verses. The commandments, if you look at it carefully, commandments 5 to 10 have to do with community. The first four have to do with God. But I suspect, I would suggest to you that even the commandment to keep the Sabbath holy is not only to as an expression of trusting God in that I don't have to kill myself working so I can survive. God will take care of me. I'll work the rest of the time, but this day I will leave. But it also allowed for community. And the rest of them are all in the context of community. Throughout Scripture, the people of God, the Jews and later the church, have survived and thrived in community. Even during the most darkest times in the history of the nation of Israel, when they were taken into captivity, the northern kingdom taken to Assyria, the southern kingdom taken to Babylon, they are always in community. And this is, you know, that the synagogue was not actually an existing practice before the exile, but it's when they were taken into exile far from the temple that this culture of the synagogue, where they could gather as a community, as a people of God, happened there. And it is, I believe, the one thing that helped the nation remain a nation. When they went down into Egypt for 400 years, they survived in community. And as I run into people oftentimes that have wandered away from the faith, if they were honest, they had stopped letting Scripture speak into their lives and they had stopped being in community where somebody could say, hey, I see this going on in your life. Or where they were not open to sharing what was going on in their lives. Here's what Acts 2 says, one of the chapters we read this week. They, meaning the new Christians, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. This is what is going on in the church. In the early church, oftentimes we talk about the, you know, oh, if we could just be like a church of Acts. And we think of miracles and signs, which were part of it, but there was something more. And, you know, this word we have here, devoted, really has kind of like almost an exercise kind of a nuance to it. They were fervent in doing this. They were disciplined about it. They were intentional about it. How many of you have found that community does not happen by accident? Right? This is why when we see each other somewhere, it's like, oh, we should get together for coffee. And then in a few months, a couple of years go by, and then you run into each other. And it's like, oh, we should get together for coffee. And then it's just a cycle, and you never get together for coffee because nobody pulls out their agenda or their little paper calendar and says, okay, well, you know, I'm available next Wednesday at 3. But this is, so it takes effort. I'm going to read it to you again here, they sold property and possessions. This is a continuation. to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. You get the idea that they're spending a lot of time in their homes and eating is a big part of this? And ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. So this is this whole end of the chapter, chapter 2 in the book of Acts. Pretty amazing stuff going on, isn't it? In an environment that the church is just being birthed and they are experiencing persecution, the religious leaders, the dominant religious group, is not very happy with these guys. And so this is happening in the church. When you read the book of Acts, when you read the rest of the chapters in the next few days, please don't forget this part of it. That it was birthed out of community and into community. So we have this word. I believe that years ago, this part of the church was called the Koinonia Cafe or something like this, right? And so this word, Koinonia, is a word in the Greek that is kind of like agape. There isn't a single good English word to translate into. And we use the English word fellowship, but the English word fellowship is kind of losing its meaning. And, it's not the most recognized word outside of church circles. You know, if you met with your friends and you're like, what did you do yesterday? Oh, well, you know, we got together for fellowship. What is going to be the reaction? Probably they're going to scratch their head. Because we're not sure what it means. Another word, another picture that helps us to understand the word koinonia is communion. Communion. But of course, communion we tend to think now of as the Lord's Supper, which it included. It was included in their fellowship. But at least it gives you to understand a little bit more communion. The other thing is to have something in common. Probably the best description, without any religious overtones, to have fellowship meant to have something in common with those that you gather. Remember that God called people out. The word church in its original language means to be called out. And our problem is that when that word began to be translated, it kind of lost its meaning. Its real sense of we are a unique group of people. What makes it unique? The fact that we are God's people. And we are God's representatives wherever we are. That's exactly the same thing that God had said to Abraham and later to the nation of Israel. That they would be his people, his special possession, his special treasure. And what does God say to the church? That you will be a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And Paul says, you know, at some point, we were not citizens of anywhere. We were just like wanderers, homeless spiritually. But now God has gathered us into his family. He has adopted us into his family. So this idea that we have something in common, it's kind of like the three musketeers. One for all and all for one. And it's this day and age of, you know, different political environments and, you know, all these funny and sometimes uninformed postings that I see on Facebook. And, you know, but if you look at it, the church did a lot of stuff of what today now we just let the government do it. And if the church would do what the church is called to do, to care for one another, to meet each other's needs, to visit the sick when they are in the hospital, to pray for healing, to sell some of the excess stuff that we have so we can give to those that have less, we wouldn't be needing the government nearly as much. But because the church doesn't do it, then the government has to step in. And of course, the government isn't going to do it the way God wants it to do, so nobody's happy. Right? But this sense of being in community, in fellowship or in communion or to have something in common. So what are some of the things that actually the early church was doing? I want to mention here a few. Number one, there was teaching or preaching teaching, preaching, instruction on how to live according to God's word. Now remember that at this time there is no New Testament, so a lot of their teaching is being based on what the apostles remember Jesus doing and Jesus is teaching. It's stuff like the Sermon on the Mountain, the Beatitudes, and any time that he taught, they remember. The Holy Spirit helped them to remember. But the only written part that they had was what we call our Old Testament. But even from there, they would learn. Remember when Jesus ran into the two disciples going to Emmaus after the resurrection? And they said, like, don't you know what happened? And Jesus, not telling them who he was, it says that he opened the scriptures from beginning to end, showing them how they all pointed towards who? Himself. So the scripture, the Old Testament, has got plenty of stuff to tell us about Jesus and about God. But so what they did, there was teaching involved. And this was a frequent thing that they have. The church was being formulated. There was also fellowship. And in this koinonia, what happened? They were eating together, just having meals together. They were also having the Lord's Supper. And they were also praying. Those were the things they did when they got together in homes. But they also did that in the synagogues. They hadn't been kicked out of the synagogues yet. So the churches didn't have their own church facilities or house churches as it developed. Can you imagine people getting together and having a meal and saying, so we heard you got arrested. Oh yeah, it was wild. They got mad at us because there was this one guy that was there by the gate, beautiful, and they brought him out and looked like he wanted money, but I don't have any money, but I told him that Jesus is in me, so I give him whatever I had. I grabbed him and picked him up, and he started walking. And he got all excited, and he was hanging on to us as we went into the temple, and he was praising God, jumping up and down. Well, and then the priest got mad at us. And then they took us to jail. And then they threatened us. You know what they told us, Cole? To stop talking about Jesus! Oh, well, and what did you say? Well, we told them that, you know, they could tell us whatever they want, but they had to determine whether they thought it was right that we should listen to them or we should listen to God. And you know, Cole, what they said? This kind of hurt. I kind of got offended because they said that we were unlearned. But then they said, but it looks like these people have been still spending time with Jesus. Wow. Let's praise God. What a privilege that we get to suffer for Jesus. And they're threatening us. This is the kind of stuff that happened. What happens when we get together? Hey, did you watch the Oilers game? Well, I think they're going to make the playoffs. Or how about the cold weather? Wasn't that nasty? Like 10 days, so it felt like, you know, minus 30? How's it going at work? Please understand, there's nothing wrong with those conversations. But they cannot be the center of our time together, whether we're in church or we're out at Tim Hortons or at Freaking Delights or wherever you gather. They had these conversations about what God was doing. And they enjoyed eating meals together. We have forgotten what it means to celebrate just having a meal together with our family, with our friends, with strangers, with the neighbors. Last night, our friends came that they don't go to church. Afterwards, Kirsten says, you know, I think they really had a great time. And at least from what I could pick up, none of the other couples that were there got offended because of their language or, you know, some of the things they said they love to do as an ideal date and this and that. But we just had a good time. And the Lord's Supper, you know, a lot of churches practice it every Sunday. We do it once a month because we think that's how Jesus did it. But Jesus just said, do it whenever you want to. Remember me until I come, and it's good. And so this was very real to them. And prayer, prayer, prayer. Prayer. You know, sometimes it's like I see somebody down there and it's like, oh, Jesus, please help them. I think I remember saying that they were kind of looking for a new job. Thank you. And then, oh, you know, I've been praying for you. Which is true, but, you know, 15 seconds ago. I told you the story of this lady this summer who said to me that she has a notebook with names of people she prays for. And she's like, I've been praying for you since the summer of 1992. Whoa. Isn't that cool? On Thursdays, we gather here to pray. And we'd love for all of you to be here. I realize that logistically, some of us can't be here. But there's some of us who logistically could. It's just not an important thing for us to do. And unless we gather to pray, whether here on Thursdays or anytime we connect, that we just say, hey, let's pray. How can we expect the miraculous things to happen if we are not praying? How do we expect God to add to the church that which those who are being saved if we're not doing that? Fellowship wasn't just to shoot the breeze, like we say in English. It wasn't to just have superficial conversations. This was deep stuff. And you know, when you are enjoying a nice meal, especially if not one you cooked, not even if you cooked it, there's an opportunity to just have conversation because we're not in a hurry. But our problem is that, you know, we have lost what was once a cultural thing, even here, where we ate family meals together. You know how much we eat in a rush? You know, culturally, how much drive-through food we eat? Just jump in anybody's car and you start seeing, well, there's the Tim Hortons wrapper, there's the McDonald's wrapper, there's the Subway wrapper, oh, there's, you know, the soup container. Friends, if we are going to be the people of God, representing God to our culture, to our community, we've got to have some of these things in our lives. So I'm not necessarily speaking only about Sunday. Needs were met. Needs were met. They sold their stuff and said, you know, well, they have more need. I don't really need a second house. I'll just sell the house and give it away. Get the money away. So that no one goes hungry. It wasn't communism that came up with the, you know, from each according to their ability to each according to their need. It was the early church. It really was. It's not socialism. And then the church, well, there was wonders and signs. The whole story of the book of Acts is the wonders and signs that Jesus is doing through the church, through the believers. And the church grew. Because that was happening. That was a normal thing to happen. Because they had been spending time with Jesus. That's why. So this is when you talk about the early church and you say, oh, you know, we should be more like the early church. This is what the church ought to be like. A place where we can be honest with each other. You know, and a few people dying for lying to the Holy Spirit doesn't hurt either, but that's not something we're praying for. But this is what the church did. There was teaching, there was fellowship, there was where needs were met, wonders and signs were happening, and church growth happened because the community spent time with Jesus, they spent time with each other, and then they went about their daily business. They didn't sit there 24/7. So we need community. Community where you can find this, where people can be Jesus to and for each other. Isn't that great? That we can be Jesus to and for each other. We can be Jesus with skin. We can give a hug. A ghost cannot give a hug. You can lend a listening ear. You can say, oh my, I will pray for you. You can bring someone flowers. A bowl of soup. Buy somebody a coffee. But we can be Jesus to and for each other. In fact, Dietrich Bonhoeffer in his book, Life Together, says that we can even be Jesus to each other in declaring forgiveness of sins. Because when there is community, and I feel safe enough to confess my sins, then Cole can say, Gil, as your fellow servant, I tell you today that because you have confessed and I can see the brokenness in your heart, Jesus forgives you. What a wonderful thing that we can say to each other. We can be Jesus in and for each other. That's the kind of community we need to look for. We need to find community that is made up of people who encourage us to become more like Jesus, to become better persons, to become a better reflection of who Jesus calls us to be in our families, in our jobs, in our community. People that encourage us to become more like Jesus. People who pray for us to become more like Jesus. People who have the courage to say, you know, I see this in your life. And that's not very Christ-like. And when we're not going to get, what? Offended. I read through here and I don't get a sense that the church was easily offended. But where we can be encouraged to become more like Christ. And also, a community of people with whom we can show Jesus to those around us. It's always more powerful when it's the community as a whole than just one individual. God will use one individual, but he desired to use us as a community. You know, Jesus said that we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And, you know, we've often heard sermons about, well, that salt preserves, which is true. But why do most of us use salt? Because what? It enhances the flavor. It tastes better. And part of our job is to be salt in such a way that people say, you know, I think that can, my life could be better. Dave, Doreen has something, and she's going through the same stuff I'm going through, but somehow she seems to be handling it differently. Doreen, what is it that is going on in your life that you are acting like this when things are tough? And Doreen says, well, you know, well, let me tell you. I'll buy you a coffee, and let's chat. And we share with people that life, as hard as it is living in a fallen world, with Jesus, it's not devastating. It's not shattering. It's not hopeless. Like, let's, you know, just live through our days that we're given, because, well, then that's what happens to everybody. Then we're going to die, and that's it. No, we can have a meaningful, purposeful life because the community is showing Jesus to those around them. That's the kind of community we are looking for. That's the kind of community I want us to be. That's why we encourage you to be here on Sundays. We encourage you to, because community isn't really going to happen a whole lot on Sundays, especially if you come late and leave early. I see some of you come early and hang out. I see some of you stay late and hang out. This is why we invite you to be in a small group, because you can also build community. This is why we encourage you when there's a ladies' coffee time, and there's one coming up in March, that you can do that. When the men get together for breakfast, it's not just to have breakfast, but that we can be Jesus in and to each other, with each other, where we can be encouraged to be more like Jesus, where we can show those around us what Jesus is like. On last men's breakfast, we gathered around and prayed for John because of Shirley's health. And I wonder what people must have thought. But it's whetting their appetite. This is why we need each other. I close with these words, part of the introduction given by the English editor of the Dietrich Bonhoeffer Works for volume number 5, which has 2 books together. One is called Life Together, which I mentioned. The other one is the prayer book of the Bible, is an exposition of the Psalms. But the editor says, Christ existing as community challenges believers to behave as Christ to one another. This same Christ promises to those who gather in his name to be present in, with, and for them. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Let me read it again. Christ existing as community challenges believers to behave as Christ to one another. This same Christ promises to those who gather in his name to be present in, with, and for them. So next time you're having a Tim's remember, it's not just you and whoever you're having a coffee with. Jesus himself is there. Jesus will prompt you to pray, to ask a certain question. Jesus will help you to listen to more than words. And then we can pray for one another in a way that is life transforming. And it creates community where it's safe and I can actually be my true self without fear of being rejected. But with that conviction that I'm going to be pointed to Christ, who loves me too much, exactly the way I am, but loves me too much to leave me that way. That's what community can do. This is why we need one another. This is why we encourage it to be connected throughout the week with each other. You're busy, I'm busy, I get that. But it's so valuable for our growth in the faith. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you never intended us to live our Christian life alone or in a foxhole or trying to ward off the attacks of the enemy and the temptations of life by ourselves. We are commanded to not stop gathering, to not wander off by ourselves, but to live in community where we can be loved and accepted, but where we can also be challenged, where we can be encouraged to be more Christ-like. So help us to put a high priority in being in community, knowing that when we are, you are there with us. We pray this in your glorious name. Amen.